following the shiur that was last week, we have received a lot of feedback. The shiur was very much nisparsim, and a lot of comments came in about the idea of Balei Aveira now missed. I want to follow up on a couple of things and clarify some things, which in the context of a short half an hour, it wasn't possible to go through everything at length. So, just starting off the topic, the general idea where we're talking about the difference between a mumr l'te'oven and a mumr l'haches, someone who doesn't follow what it says in the Torah, doesn't keep a certain mitzvah. And there are two categories, one which we call a te'oven, where he does it just because he so desires. Another category is where he does it l'haches, where he's dafka doing it because he wants to go against what Hashem says. Now, as we mentioned in the shiur, it's hard to give general statements. Every case has to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. It needs to be understood where this is coming from, what's the best thing right now. And poskim really grapple with this issue, and really in different generations they've given different piskei dinim, and depends also on the place and location. But as a general principle, I think it's important to mention here the words of the Rashba. The Rashba writes in a tshuva that the general attitude, when you see there's a mikshel, the community is stumbling, the approach should be that loshin rako tishber gorem, the correct approach is to take the smooth approach and to talk nicely. Instead of taking the whole package at once, in the words of the Rashba, we try to do things bit by bit, piece by piece. Says the Rashba, E'ef shalinag b'chol ha'anashim b'mida achas. You can't deal with all people using the same measurement and the same tool and knowing how to apply the principles from one person to another. Kila koils man mazum, and everything has its time, everything has its place. Halomis ayin min ha'over, not to watch, not to pay attention, ignoring when a person does an aveda, sometimes it's a mitzvah, sometimes it's the right thing. A smart person, says the Rashba, will sometimes look away, not because he wants to chas v'shalom go against the Torah, he wants to strengthen the Torah. And using the approach of smol doichavi min makareves, using the approach that we use our right hand to bring closer and only with our left hand we push people away, this in itself will cause rishoyim to return from their way, rishoyim meideinim, and there won't be any more rishoyim. This is a general good principle. If you don't know, if you're in doubt whether to use the positive approach or the negative approach, always the positive approach is better. You could never lose. If you use the negative approach, it's hard to go back and use the positive approach. But once you use the positive approach, you can always go back and use the negative approach. And worst case scenario, you've been mekayim a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, you haven't lost out. Now when we talk about the idea of a mumr, of a bala aveda, there's many different places in halacha this has a distinction. It affects whether the person has a portion of Olam Haba. It affects whether the person is called a yid, if he's called achicha. Are we allowed to save him, or chas v'shalom the other way around? It affects, particularly when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, it affects the halachas of Shechita, it affects the halachas of Erev, it affects the halachas of Ribbis, the halachas of Yayin Nesach. There are money matters, Hashavas Aveda, stealing from him, whether he's allowed to bring a carbon, matters of Darkei Shalom, etc. This principle that there are those people that are called the Mumla Tiyavan and Mumla Hachis is based on a Gemara, where the Gemara says that it was an individual that was sold into slavery to the people from Lud, and the people of Lud were cannibals, they would eat people. And this individual came to Rabbi Ami, he wanted to be saved and released and redeemed from his slavery, from his captivity. So the rabbis told Rabbi Ami, you're saving such a person, we've seen him eating the Velas HaTreifis. He's not a regular Jewish person, he's a Yisrael Mumr. So Rabbi Ami told him, maybe Lati Oven, he's only doing it because he enjoys the taste of Treif. So they told him, no, we have times where he has kosher and he has Treif. They're both equal taste. Shavik HaTeirav Achali Sura. It's not only he eats the treif because right now he doesn't have available kosher. He has both available. He leaves the thing that's permissible and eats the treif. So Rabbi Amit came back to him and told him, sorry, loy shafkali dafrakinach. The rabbis don't let me redeem you. It's interesting, even when he was treated him like someone who's not considered Jewish because he's out of the pale of Judaism, he's a mumul hachis, he's going against Hashem Adavka, he said, they don't let me release you. And this principle, the question is how we apply that and who this applies to. So, as mentioned, the Shia, in our generation, a lot of priests can say that many people are considered a mumr l'tiyavan. They don't know any better. They didn't get a proper education. They got so used to this approach. It's a world of hefkedus. It's a world where people just do whatever they want and people don't really know any better. I will mention, if we talk about people that have no portion in Olam Haba, and we say that someone who goes against one mitzvah of the Torah, and certainly if it's Chilul Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, he loses his portion of Olam Haba. There are other people that also fall into this category. The Rambam gives 24 different types of people who fall into this category, including people that are Balei Lashon Hara, that regular people, regularly speak Lashon Hara, including people that are Matile, Amy, Yeseda, Lassiba, Shaloi, Lashem, Shamaim, someone who actually goes and instills fear in the community, but not for the purpose of heaven. He wants to be a leader, and he abuses his leadership. He's, I guess, somewhat of a dictator. The guy could be running, be a parnas in a kehillah. He could be a chassidish rebbe, a chassidish rosh yeshiva, who his behavior is such that makes him lose the portion in Olam Haba because of his dominant approach. So this is also someone who loses a portion in Olam Haba. And there are many other Avedis which are called Avedis, Kalos, relatively speaking, light Avedis, but if a person engages in such Avedis, we say about him they lose this portion in Olam Haba. So before we start talking about certain people, and we say this person doesn't have a portion in that Olam Haba, and that person doesn't have a portion, look at yourself in the mirror too, and think maybe Chas V'Shalom we're one of those people too. The general principle, as mentioned, there are those that are tinik shenishba, that are considered a child in captivity because they didn't get a proper education. And therefore, we often look at people with a different prism, with a different lens. The Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos that bichlal, if somebody believes in the basic principles of faith, misha mamin b'yisaydis halalu, halacha says, nichnas bichlal Yisrael, he's considered a Jewish person. Choyva la'ava, it's a mitzvah to love him, v'lach v'lolov, and have rachmanis and compassion, and treat him like any other Yid. So if a person at least has the basic principles of Yiddishkeit, we treat him as a Yid, and we love him, we have rachmanis, and we treat him like a regular Yid. So there's a famous vart out there. There are some people, unfortunately, who don't know the basic principles of faith, and they might not believe in one of the Ikrei Emunah. And people often say, but it's not his fault. So there's a vart out there in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, and they say Reb Chaim Brisker said, "Anebuch apikoidus is oich an apikoidus." Even if he's an apikoidus, he's a heretic. And not by fault, not by design, it's just he just never got a better education. He's also an apikoidus. This is how the saying goes. But the problem is that saying is not 100% straightforward, because we have a halacha. Brought in the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, it's brought in the Halacha in the Am Hilchishgagis, that someone who's indeed a Tinik Shenishba, someone who didn't get a proper education, the Halacha is, he's allowed to go and bring the carbon. His carbon is considered, goes up in the Mizbech, it's considered a proper carbon. And if we would say that he's really considered an Apikoidus, then obviously this carbon wouldn't qualify as a carbon. That's one of the biggest questions on this Vart of Reb Chaim. Now people say this Vart in the name of Reb Chaim, whether he said it, or Reb Chaim just said it or didn't say it, is heavily debated. But the truth is, in reality, the Rishonim already spoke about this topic, about an Oynah, someone who actually does not believe in the principles of faith. It's not just a question that he doesn't keep Shabbos or doesn't keep any other mitzvah. It's a question that he really borders on heresy, but it's not due to his fault. So the Rambam himself, who this statement of Reb Chaim was supposedly said to explain the Rambam, we'll soon get to the words of the Rambam in Hilchas Shuvah, the Rambam himself, in Emor Nevuchim, talks about the fact that there are certain people that grew up mikatnos from their young age, and they were murgal b'hakshama. They were told that Hashem has corporal qualities, has humanistic qualities, and therefore they believe the Eibush has a body. The Rambam writes that negates one of the principles of faith. And in Emor Nevuchim he says, but there's some type of justification for the people that didn't get a proper education. He says, however, if somebody had from who to learn from, was able to learn this, then he has no justification. So the Rambam himself gives some room for justification for a nebuch apikoidus, so to speak, not to be an apikoidus. The Chovis Salvavus, one of the Rishonim, has a section called Shad HaYichud, and he writes there, Ein adam nitva, we can't have complaints against a person, we can't demand from someone, Ela kefi yicholtoi v'asagosei hasichlas v'avchanosoi v'koichoi v'ashroi. Only according to his intellectual abilities, his capacity to understand and distinguish between one thing and another, he has to have rich, strong qualities in order to be able to make complaints to him why he doesn't appreciate the true idea of oneness of Hashem. The Radvaz, another Rishon, writes that if somebody makes a mistake in one of the principles of faith, machmas iyunoi hanifsid, because he didn't have a proper iyun, he didn't look in depth into the topic, he's not called because of that in apikoyos. And he brings an example of Hillel, mentioned the Gemara. Hillel, the great Rabbi Hillel, was an adam gadol. He made a mistake in one of the principles of faith, and he believed there's no longer going to be a Mashiach. Zog the Radvaz, mipnei zeh hatoes lechashvu ukeifer. The Radvaz maintains, other write differently, that he wasn't considered an apikoyos, because if it would be an apikoyos, they wouldn't say statements in his name in the Gemara. And the reason is, Shemasha Allah be Yunayamas. He thought, based on his understanding and his appreciation of the Torah, that this is the correct thing, and therefore he's an Aynas. Nowadays, when we have a halacha, obviously, that the halacha is that there is a Mashiach, that's been established as a principle of faith, you can't deny the principle of faith, but Hill himself, there was no such halacha established, and he didn't know any better. We have another edition called Rabbeinu Meir ben Shimshon, Bal Hami'ili. This is a manuscript. And he actually deals with this particular Rambam Hachashuv that we mentioned earlier. The Rambam writes, as mentioned, that if somebody believes that Hashem is a Baal Guf, that Hashem has a physical body, he's an Apokoyrus. The Radvaz argues and says, well, I mean, there were great rabbis that thought so because they made a mistake. And it's, normally people interpret this attack of the Ravid against the Rambam, the challenge that the Ravid makes, that the Ravid argues that if somebody is a great person and he makes a mistake just because he doesn't know any better, kama gedoilim v'toivim, then we can't call him an apokoyrus. The Rambam knew that there were great people that thought so, but tough. That's what they thought, and they were wrong, and they're still apokoyrusim. And that's where this statement, the name of the Reb Chaim Brisker, came about. But the Bal Hami'ili writes that Chas v'Shalom, the Rambam did not mean that somebody who didn't really get the message, and he doesn't understand that Hashem does not have a body, or that Hashem is unlimited, did not mean to say that he is an apokoyrus. Ki roiv b'nei ha'meinenu, most people, men and women, think this way. Because they're foolish and they don't have really such a strong intellectual capacity. Says the Bal Hami'ili, we can't call them apokoyrus. Because they looked at the psukim and they understood the interpretation of the psukim and Tanakh in a simple way. We can't really call them apokoyrus. And he writes, some of them are great people and pious people. The Rambam meant those people who went intellectually, came with an intellectual maskan, and they looked through the issues and they want to be smarter than the rabbis and argue with the rabbis. Those people, the Rambam maintains, not the Kurdis. The Ramak, one of the Mekubalim, minimizes the machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid. And he says, when the Ravid argued against the Rambam, he says there were great people that thought that way. How can you say that in Pekoyr? He says, obviously, the Ravid didn't think that if somebody makes the Ebishter and ascribes to him physical properties, obviously the Ravid understands in Apokoyrus. But the difference between the Rambam and the Ravid was, the Rambam maintained that if somebody didn't get this true education and didn't understand the Psukim properly, the Rambam seems like he said he was an Apokoyrus. The Ravid argued with him and said, but this person really is sincere and wants to serve Hashem. But if a person really knows the Eibishter and knows what it says in Svarim and wants a dafka go against the Eibishter, then the Ravid, and believe that he's a Gashmi, that he's physical, then the Ravid would agree he's an Apokoyrus. And finally, I'll mention just one more source, and that is the Chazanish. The Chazanish also deals with this Rambam, and he says that even according to the Ravid, that it's not an Apokoyrus, then this must be someone who didn't look into the topic. Daitoik Tzari doesn't have a deep intellectual abilities, but if someone understands that it doesn't make sense that Eibishter should be a Baal Guf, and he still disagrees and says the Baal Guf, the Ravid would say is an Apokoyrus. And on the other hand, the Rambam would agree that if somebody didn't look into it properly and is Yisrael Kasher V'Toyv, it's not his fault and he's not an Apokoyrus. And the reason I'm mentioning all these different opinions over here is to say it's not that simple, it's not that straightforward. If somebody doesn't know any better, there's good reason to say that even when it comes to the basic principles of Yiddishkeit, we can't really consider him an Apokoyrus. And this Vart of Nebuch Apokoyrus is not such a straightforward Vart. We can't just apply that across the board. Moving on to the next topic, and we're talking about the fact that if somebody flaunts Avedis publicly, which we spoke by the Shir, that if somebody flaunts Avedis publicly, he loses his portion in Eilam Haba, and the expression used in the Rambam, he's Oysa Avedis Biad Rama, he stands publicly and defies what they wish to once, Ki Yoyakim is an Apokoyrus. This is a person where the Rambam writes in the Mer Nevuchim, describes such a person that he's Yois Panav, he has the audacity to go publicly against Hashem, and he's doing it not only because he has bad midos, he wants to argue with the Torah, and he's a Sashem Simugadif, he's blaspheming God. This is not just the fact that he's doing it publicly, it's the fact that he's doing it with a deliberate attempt, with an audacity, dafke, to go against the Torah. So it's not just the fact that a person does it in public, it's done with a cheshbin that he wants to dafke go against Hashem. And we mentioned from a few different sources that the reason that Rambam brings the example of Yehoyakim is because he's doing it lahachis, we said that he does it al derech kfira. I will point out and I don't know if this was mentioned at the shir or not, don't recall that the Malamed Lohel says that today, kalkalosi takanosi, today's day and age, our downfall, our problem is our solution. The fact that today's day and age, everything is done out in the open, apokursim are all over the world. If Avedis is the in thing, unfortunately, so if somebody is doing Avedis publicly on the country, that doesn't show anything wrong about him, doesn't show that he's doing a biyad drama. That's how things are done. And unfortunately, when we spoke at the shir about unfortunately, the idea of Mishkav Zach, where people engage in marriages, in a social lifestyle, alternative lifestyle, which is against the Torah, because that is the in thing today, unfortunately, and it's legalized in a lot of places, we can't really say this person is flaunting publicly, and therefore he's doing the biyad drama, is being a lahachis, because kalkalosim takanosim, that's unfortunately the way things are done today. This doesn't indicate a desire to dafka go against Hashem. One of the questions that we spoke about with the shir was, is there a distinction between avedis ben adam lamakim, people that are machal Shabbos, engage in other forbidden relations, things that Hashem says are not allowed to do, or ben adam lachaveris, people that engage in prohibitions which are between man and man, like a thief and a molester? Do we make some type of distinction? And the answer is yes, indeed, is actually a distinction between these kind of things. The Rama writes in Shmuel Prakim that when it comes to mitzvahs that the Eibishter commanded us, but we would understand them even on our own, what the Rambam refers to as mitzvah sichli, it's logical mitzvahs, which Chazal say about such mitzvahs, that even if they wouldn't be written, ru'im hem likasev, even if they wouldn't be written in Torah, we would understand that on our own, they deserve to be written even if they were not written. Such kind of mitzvahs, a person who has a desire to do such an aveira is a nefesh chaseira. Something's wrong with him. Ha nefesh ha-chashuv loytis aval echad me'ilu harayis klal. A chashuv, a person who has a refined soul, would not even desire such a thing. On the other hand, there are certain things which are Torah shamiyos, mitzvahs that we do them because we were told to do them. And if not for the Torah, we wouldn't consider them evil at all. And these kind of mitzvahs, Chazal tell us, you naturally could have an inclination and disposition to want to do these averis, but you don't do it because Hashem said not to do it. So there's a strong distinction in the Torah between Menod L'Amakim and Menod L'Chaveira. A person, when engages in immoral practices which society considers as not moral, society considers it not ethical behavior, Benad Lachavere, something's wrong with such a person on a much stronger level than somebody who's engaging in things which Torah told us not to do it, but we wouldn't necessarily understand it on our own. And as the Gemara makes the same distinction when it comes to publicizing sins, there's a contradiction in Psukim. Are you supposed to publicize the fact that you did something wrong and you're doing tshuva? Or are you supposed to keep your Avedis under wraps? Well, you did tshuva, you want to confess. Should your confession be made in public or in private? And the Gemara makes a distinction between Aveda Shevein Adam L'Amakim or Aveda Shevein Adam L'Chaveda. There's a difference between things that society sees them as wrong things or things that society doesn't even appreciate that they're wrong things. So that very distinction is a Torah distinction. I'll mention that the Teferis Yisrael writes, and this is an important thing, because we often look at these people that are not keeping Shabbos, people that are secular Jews, people that are not religious and haven't had a proper upbringing, and some people look down on them. And yet we have those kind of people that are engaged in inappropriate behaviors in our own communities, and that we could sometimes look the other way. The Teferis Yisrael writes on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, "Harchik mishachin ra, v'al teschab l'rasha." Keep away from a evil neighbor, and don't attach yourself to a wicked person. Says the Teferis Yisrael, Shachin Ra, an evil neighbor, means someone who's your neighbor, but he has a temper, he has arrogance, he has jealousy. Such a person, not only you shouldn't attach yourself to him, because you don't want to learn from his behavior, which can negatively affect you. Hachi, keep away from him. It affects your soul and it affects your body. Keep away from such people completely. Not just don't attach yourself to them. Ne'amaltas chabla rasha. Someone, the only problem is that he's ra'al ha-shamayim. His problem is that he's doing the wrong thing in Hashem's eyes. It's just enough. Don't attach yourself to him. But don't push him away. Don't be concerned that he might make you sin. There's no reason that he should make you sin. If a person does an aveira, he does it for himself. He's not out there to get other people to do that, to do an aveira. And besides, if he sees that you don't hate him, you have a chance. He can be mekadem l'tshuva. So here in the Teferis Yisrael, we have this principle. If somebody is doing the wrong thing in the eyes of Hashem, you're not supposed to attach yourself to them, but you definitely should be mekarev of them. And we spoke about this at length at the shir. We spoke about the fact there's a difference between someone who eats nevelis lite oven, eats treif because he likes it, or someone who engages in gzela, in theft lite oven. So much, since this person engages in theft on a regular basis, the person makes shtick in his restaurant and he puts the wrong prices on things. And he could be a very highly religious person. It becomes even an issue whether you're allowed to even save them on Shabbos. Because he's engaging in Aveiros regularly. But this person who eats treif also engages in Aveiros regularly. Says the Prisha, as we mentioned by the Shir, but this person is engaging in something which is ra lebrios. And a person is taking money away from another person. Shalai kedin, he loses this quality of being a Jewish person. One of the things that came up in the Shir was about giving kibbudim to people who do Aveiros, which strictly speaking, we have a problem with somebody who's a Mechal on Shabbos, but we mentioned many, many different sources that really his bracha is really considered a bracha. We maybe try to minimize it, but depending on the conditions, depending on the locations, depending on society, and we saw many stories of great tzaddikim that are actually engaged in practices, and there's a whole range of places that bring a lot of heterim to give an aliyah to Mechal on Shabbos, including Reb Chaim Palaji, the Skan Aran, the Erich Nehme, the Tzur Yankiv, the Oel Moshe, the Mechis Yitzchak, the Chalkis Yankiv, Chavadas, Chazay Nevadia, etc., etc. Lev Avram writes, "Call Adam Miyasa Vadas." Any smart person should do things with seichel, and of course, he would be lenient with his achashash. Able would create an amaster to one person and another person. Yes, there's a leniency that we spoke about by the shir. If he's embarrassed and being mechal Shabbos in front of a great person, and some people argue that the main thing is the Baal Koras. I don't care so much if this person got an aliyah. The main thing is that the person, the first Ali and the last Ali, will be people that are not Mechal LeShabbos. The Erd Letzion writes, don't get into a fight with such a person. The Torah is a ways of pleasant. You're allowed to answer Amin. His brach is not Levatollah. He's really Yid. Try to see if you can have other Aliyahs. I just want to mention about that. There's an interesting thing about this idea about a Baal Aveira getting an Aliyah. The Sefer Chassidim writes that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes in Sefer Chassidim that when it comes to the Parsha of Arayas, of forbidden relations, don't let the Baal Kodesh shouldn't call up to the Torah, the Shama shouldn't call up to the Torah, a person that we suspect that he engages in forbidden relations. It wouldn't be right to give him an Ali in that section. And generally, anybody that engages in a practice, which is in a wrong practice, shouldn't get an Aliyah, and the portion of Torah talks about that. So the Kodesh Sagdoyla brings that this is only because he's suspect of doing the wrong thing. If he actually is doing the wrong thing, dafki should give him that aliyah, he should try to embarrass him. So it's very clear from this Sefer Chassidim and from the way the Knesset Gedolah understands this, that a Baal Aveira could get an aliyah. He's doing the wrong thing. We know he does the wrong thing. We dafki give him an aliyah. In the portion where he talks about that, we want to embarrass him, we want to give him a lesson. The Ali Rabbi, the Shad Ephraim, the Lubush Amartch, a lot of them bring a source to me, allowed to give an aliyah to Baal Aveira. There's a discussion about a tshuva Ramban, whether it is the Ramban's or not the Ramban's tshuva. One of the Rishonim certainly could be. It's the Rashba's tshuva about a kohen who married a divorcee. And it's brought down in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch that you don't give him the very first aliyah. But it seems like you'll have to give him another aliyah. V'Yisrael Oila. It says he can get the aliyah of Yisrael. Okay, there's a question what that really means. Does that mean he gets the aliyah of Yisrael? Or let a Yisrael get an aliyah instead of him? But there's certainly room to be lenient. There's a tshuva of the Ben Ishchai that writes in Makam Eva, Makam Sinai, could be lenient and give such a person an aliyah. I'll mention an interesting thing that I saw one of the shluchim write that he actually spoke to Reb David Feinstein, the son of Reb Moshe Feinstein. And he mentioned that he saw a tshuva of his father, of Reb Moshe Feinstein, where he writes about reform rabbis and conservative rabbis, there's no way you're allowed to give them aliyah, they all call them mumalahachis. And Reb David Feinstein told him that what his father wrote was applicable only in the 60s, in Tafshin Chafs, and maybe in the Tafshin Lamans in the 70s. These rabbis were then considered mumalahachis. These rabbis would come to our shuls, and they would come to publicize their heresy. They would try to convince our members of our communities how they're right. Today's day and age, most of these rabbis themselves don't know any better and certainly can go and give them all aliyah. So which is an interesting thing from Reb David Feinstein explaining the position of Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe once wrote a letter. This is not about aliyah, this is about joining a minyan. There was a situation where there was someone who was asked to come and join a minyan, and there were people in Mechal Shabbos, and if he wouldn't come to the minyan, the whole minyan would fall apart. He was asked to lead the services. The reason is because these people knew that it really doesn't make sense for them to lead services. They understand that Mechal Shabbos doesn't make sense for them to do that. And the Rebbe writes to this person that this is Kanoi Shaloibim Kaima. He doesn't want to join this minion. This is zealousy in the wrong place. If you understand that a minion will fall apart because of you, and they know that really they really shouldn't be going to the Amud, then yeah, you should help them out. Maybe this is one of those cases where you could do an Aveira, a small Aveira, to save people from a big Aveira. A long letter with a lot of different reasons why the Rebbe said this would be okay in that case. Very, very interesting that the Rebbe Tshaver writes that people that are Mechal Shabbos are part of the carbon sibah that's brought, but you don't accept directly a carbon from them. And based on that, he wants to make a very interesting distinction that their carbon is really a kosher carbon. The question is, they're not allowed to donate a carbon right now. And therefore, he wants to distinguish between having them join a minion or having them join Kriyas HaTorah. And somebody else, he makes a distinction between Musav versus Shachris. But be that as it may, it's accepted in a lot of places, in a lot of Chabad houses, particularly that for a minion we would join such people, otherwise it wouldn't even be a minion, that we wouldn't have a chance to be Makar of these people. We might even give them Aliyah, but the next step of them becoming a Shliach Sibah, that's much more complicated, as we spoke at length about this by the Shir, that even there is even room for leniency with Shliach Tzibur, but it's evidently on a level higher, and we should try to avoid doing that, because really a Gabi, a Shamash, or a Chazan shouldn't be someone who's a Mechal Shabbos. Now, I want to talk more about the idea of being Makarif people. And we have to make a distinction and show people that we're Merachik the Aveda, we don't accept the Aveda. The Aveda is not accepted in our eyes, but the person we are Makarif. Reb Chaim Vital writes in Shara Kedusha that there's a mitzvah to love everyone that Hashem created, even Goyim. The Ramak, one of the early Mekabalim, writes, you're supposed to love even the Shoyim Beliba in your heart. In Hagoyis Maimus, he brings from the Smag, on the other hand, your friend means only someone who's your friend, that he keeps Torah Mitzvahs. Only if he keeps Torah Mitzvahs do we have the mitzvah of the, if he's not keeping Torah Mitzvahs, then there's no Avos Yisrael. But the Achrayim already bring the Maram Shik, Baruch and Perla bring a very strong right from the Gemara that you have to say that Hafar Achamach applies even to such people. Because the Gemara says that a person who deserves death penalty through Bezdin and he has a choice between a more severe death penalty and a lighter death penalty, the Hafar Achamach, the Gemara says, B'roir lo misiyaf, choose him a lighter or nicer death. A lot of people like this form of a Hafar Achamach. They're obviously still just trying to kill people, but just a lighter death. That just was said in jest. Be that as it may, the Baruch and Perlon and Manam Shik bring this right, that you see that even a person who's deserving of the death penalty of Mrs. Bezdin, the mitzvah of obviously still applies. And we find this in Yad Rameh, also one of the Rishayim. He says clearly, the Hafar Achamach applies even to a Rasha. Another strong proof is from the idea of a Mesis. A Mesis, someone seduces people to do Avodah Zarah. And Chazal tell us, when it comes to a mace, someone who's seducing and convincing people to do Avodah Zarah, Yochol Ata Oyev Lazeh, I would think that the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah applies here. Talmud Lemon, we have a pasuk, V'loy Soy V'loy. You're not supposed to love a person who's convincing others to do Avodah Zarah. Idacharai, you see clearly there's a special miut, a special source that teaches us that when it comes to a mace, there's no Avodah Zarah. But otherwise, if a person does Avodah Zarah, it would be the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. Elamai, there's a mitzvah of Avodah Zarah to everyone. All people. These, however, a separate mitzvah brought on a Shulchan Aruch, a Shemish Betzim, a Shayim Beis, a special mitzvah that you're supposed to hate the Rishoyim. Not that you're not supposed to love them. There's a mitzvah to love them. There's another mitzvah to hate them. If you learn from a pasuk, Yiras Hashem, someone who fears God, no Yisro, he hates evil. And this actually fits in very well what these Achrayim say with what it says in Tanya, Pedik Lamed Beis, known as the lave, the heart. Lamed Beis, the heart of Tanya, where he says there that the mitzvah of hating Rishoyim is not a contradiction to the mitzvah of loving Eden. Even if it's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, have them gamkin, it's a mitzvah to love them too. The mitzvah to hate them is based on their evil behavior, their rashav and the negative within them. And we love them based on the good. The good is hidden, unfortunately. And by loving them, we're going to bring out the hidden good that they have. Reb Meir Arik in the Sefer Tal Torah quotes his Tanya, and he says that he has a raya from Pirusha Mishnayos, with the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos writes that someone that believes in the basic principles of Avonah, we mentioned that earlier, it's a mitzvah to love them. So the mitzvah of loving is not a contradiction to the fact that it's a mitzvah to hate them. Now let's talk about the mitzvah to hate them. So the Yirei, one of the Rishonim writes, the mitzvah is actually not to hate them. It's sinah nidis leinayim, to look like you're hating them. Tanya doesn't take that approach. He takes the approach which seems like most of the Rishonim, they take it very literally. The Gemara says to hate means to hate. It doesn't just mean to look like to hate. And the Alter Rebbe says they're both true. Love them and hate them. But there the Alter Rebbe makes a very strong distinction. He says, this that the Gemara says, that if you see someone doing an Aveda, it's a mitzvah to hate him and go tell the Rebbe to hate him, is only someone who's Chaveda B'toyda Mitzvahs, who is religious just like you are. When you see a religious person doing something wrong, then is a mitzvah to hate them for the evil that they're doing, but still you should love them also. But if somebody, distinction number one, distinction number two, even this person who's chaveda b'toyda mitzvahs, you first were makayim the mitzvah v'cheich techiach, you rebuked him, v'cheich techiach sam yisachad, this brings us from the charedim, this is from the smag and the chinuch, do you all write, techiach pa'amim rabbis v'loi kibli, the mitzvah of hating someone who does the wrong thing, is after you already rebuked him and he didn't accept it. So only if he's religious like you, and you rebuked him. Someone who's einer chaveda v'einem kudah b'etzle b'toyda mitzvahs, who does not keep Torah mitzvahs, over there, the Alter Rebbe says, no, on the contrary, that's what Hillel HaZaken told us, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, having me talmidei shel Aaron, oves, shalom, oves, habriyos, and makarav l'toyra, briyos, people that have no other quality other than the fact that the briyos be created by Hashem, you should love them. Tzarech l'moshcham b'chevle, avoses hava, draw them with strong ropes of love. And hopefully you'll try to be makarav, you'll be able to be makarav them to Torah and to avodas Hashem. Vehen loy, and even if you can't be makarav them, you didn't lose out, you had the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. So this is mamash the opposite of what a lot of people think. A lot of people think, if he's a firm religious person, proper upbringing, we have Avos Yisrael. Person who's totally out of the pale of orthodoxy, no Avos Yisrael. And in Tanya it says the other way around. The mitzvah of Avos Yisrael applies to everyone. The mitzvah of hating someone did the wrong thing is only someone who's religious like you, did the wrong thing, you rebuked him, then it's the mitzvah to hate the evil part within them. That's, again, totally not the way we look at things, but that's a massive chiddush of the Alter Rebbe, and it's important to take this chiddush into consideration when we look at people. One of the rayas, perhaps, where the Alter Rebbe gets us from, that this is only by chaveda between the mitzvahs, because the Gemara says that you see the person doing an aveda, you should go tell his Rebbe that he should go hate him. That means he's a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who learns Torah, who has a Rebbe. We're not talking about a guy off the street who doesn't know any better. The guy off the street, there's no mitzvah of hating. And indeed, this is what it really says in Avos de Reb Nosson. On this mission that it says in Pirkei Avos, that Aaron, we should be from the students of Aaron and love the briyos, the people that are mere created beings of Hashem, they have no other qualities. This is what it says in Avos de Reb Nosson. Aaron HaKohen would do that. He would meet a Rosh in the street. He would say hi to him. He would give him shalom. And then the person would say later, Aaron HaKohen is so nice to me. He goes out of his way. He greets me. How am I going to lift up my eyes and see Aaron HaKohen? And that would make him turn to Yiddishkeit. Now, one of the big questions here is, how do we reconcile the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos to love people like Aaron HaKohen, even the wicked people, or maybe dafka those people? How do we reconcile that with the Mishnah that says, Al teschab l'rasha? You're not allowed to attach yourself to a wicked person. And some people say, have a girsa, Al teschab l'rasha, fill the karam l'toyda, even if you want to bring them close to Toyda. And it seems like you're not allowed to do this even on a temporary basis. So, the Tosis Yontan asks this question, that the mission of Oyev Sabriya is on the Karav and Latoyra, and the mission of Al Teschab L'Rasha seem to be opposites. Now, I will mention, first of all, the mission that says Al Teschab L'Rasha is not a halacha. Avos Yisrael is a mitzvah in the Torah. Al Teschab L'Rasha is the mission of Pirkei Avos, which is pious behavior. But it is brought down in Rambam and Hilchos Nukhas Tshuva. So, one of the answers on this is Teschaber means attach yourself. The Kamarner in Sefer Noitzach Chesed and Pirkei Avos says, the Mishnah never said l'israchik. Chas v'shalom l'rachik. It will be a terrible thing to be distant from someone who's a Rasha. Adarab, a mitzvah l'karev, it's a mitzvah to become close to a Rasha. Rak al teschaber bepnimis lipcha. In the pnimis, in the depths of the heart, you don't be attached to him. You try to be makarev him, but you don't become attached to him. You become attached and that could affect you in a negative way. So there's a big difference between saying, keep away from such people, or don't attach. Attach is a very strong expression. The same idea is being brought in Binyan Yeshua, Kisarachim of the Chidot, the Maral and Derechaim. The Maral says, you don't attach yourself to him, and like that itself is sufficient, that creates a distance if you make sure to maintain that lack of attachment. Indeed, the Medr Shmuel, Maram al-Shanina brings on Pirkei Avos, says, why by the Shachin Ra uses the expression Harchik, and by the Rashi uses the expression of his chabrus. Here it says harchaka, and here it says attachment. And why by the shacharna it says keep a distance, and by the rush it says do not attach yourself. Doesn't say run away from attaching. So he says, because the question is who's attaching to who. You're not going to attach yourself to the rush in such a way that he becomes the primary thing and you're attached to him. It should be the other way around. He is attached to you. So it's a very important dictum. You have to know that you have the upper hand, and the attachment's in such a way that you're on top and he's attaching himself to you. That it's clear who's the mashpia and who's the mushpa. Who's influencing who? If the influence is starting to work in the other way, you're attaching yourself to him rather than he's attaching himself to you, that's where it becomes a problem. So that's a very important lesson in Kiruv. We're supposed to be mekarev of everyone l'toyro, including Briyos, including l'shoyim, like Aaron HaKohen did, like it says in Avos Derev Nasan, but careful on keeping that kind of distance over here. And when we talk about the distance, it's interesting to mention over here a quote from Reb Shalom Shlomo Feil Hirsch. Reb Shalom Shlomo Feil Hirsch writes in the Pasuk of Chumash, where it says Avram Avinu lived ben Kodesh ben Shur, Vayogar ben Gror, Vayeshev ben Kodesh ben Shur, he lived ben Kodesh ben Shur, and he lived in Gror. So Reb Shalom Shlomo Feil Hirsch says that some people are very scared of sicknesses, they lock themselves up, and the problem is, the minute they go out into the open, they don't have a built-up immune system, and they become sick, and they get the flu. Someone like Avram and his son, who continues Avram's path, they have to be with people. They have a job in this world. They have to go into a world which is the opposite of Avram's world, see what's different, and vaccinate themselves in this world, which is against the world of Torah. Therefore, Avram chose to live, he lived Ben Kadesh Ben Shur in a private, lonely area. But he wanted to have a connection with Gerar, with the area of Plishtim, Vayog, he would come from time to time there. Make sure you go out to that world also. Don't lock yourself up in the ghetto. Very interesting statement from Shem Shafal Hirsch. One of the poskim in Tshuva Sefer Kasta, Danya, was asked a tshuva by a shaila by a person. He lives in a kosher, holy, religious environment. And he wants to go now move to an environment which was not such a firm environment. And after he goes through the whole arichas, he's actually not supposed to live in a not religious environment. And indeed, that's true. He says, but mi yuchel hachnas atzmei b'hara zu lifsig davar mochlad. I can't give an absolute psak. Everything depends on the place where you are and the place where you're going to and all the different relationships. It's a complicated picture. It's not that simple. The Rebbe once said, depends if you're going as a mashpia or a mushpa. If you're coming to a place, this the Rambam says that if the environment is a rotten environment, go to the desert, is providing not going there in order to be mashpia in them, for habol l'tahir, you're going to purify. Not the Gemara Nuskan is habol l'tahir, not only to become pure, to make others pure. Then Hashem will help you if you're coming there to influence them. That's a whole different story. Then things are very, very different. And we mentioned already the Tferes Yisrael that says there's a difference between the person if he's a Ra'al Shemaim or Ra'al Abriyas in the terms of Altas Chabal Rasha. In fact, we have the problem. We could often have the problem of someone who is religious and is pious, but he doesn't know Torah. The Gemara says in Sifta Shabbos, Am Aretz Chassid, don't live near a Chassid, a pious person who's an Am Aretz, because you'll end up learning from him. So sometimes you could be living in a Hamish society, in a Hamish community, we could also have a problem. So if you have to measure carefully this idea of being Makarev of other people and where you live, but obviously we don't give up on any Yid and we try to be Makarev every single Yid. People often ask the question about Chanifa. You now want to go and try to show the people that you're accepting of their behavior. Reb Moshe writes that this Isra of Chanifa only applies when it looks like you're actually showing that you're being masked to their Aveda. Being nice to these people is not necessarily included in Chanifa. Sometimes we say there's a difference if it's a barabim, if it's in a public setting, in a private setting. But I want to mention an interesting thing that the Chassam Sofer writes. Some Sofer writes, there's some people that do Chanifa, but it's like to be Mekarevim to Torah. It says, Hillel Azakin, when the person wanted to convert, and he said he's not going to accept Torah Shebaal Peh, Hillel showed Chanifa to him. He opened the door for him and showed as if he's accepting of him. It seemed like he was accepting of him. He didn't push him away like Shammai. Because his intention was, he knew he could be Mekarevim to Yiddishkeit. Avram Avinu had the Arabs who bowed down to the dust of their feet, and he wanted to connect them to the service of Hashem. Aaron HaKohen, he says, was also a machnef. The whole eagle was a form of chanifi. He showed the Yidden, yeah, I'm with you. Zakte, the
some sefer and Parshat Chukos said there's two types of chanafim. A person is trying to be machnif because he wants to be mekarev of people. Hashem yazrem, Hashem will help him be able to accomplish what he's supposed to do. Indeed, actually, Aruch Sadikim already writes that. If a person is machnif l'chaviru talmidov, in order they shall listen to his musar, and he thinks he wants to attract them, he knows he wants to, it's going to be, get angry to them, they won't accept it, techacha, mitzvah gedoyla l'achnif lo, you should use the quality of chanifa, de'lohoitzi yakam azeli, you want to get at some precious quality. Some people, if you scream at them, it's just not going to work. The Marash al Ghazi writes in Titan Emes Yankov, if you tell a Rasha you're really a tzaddik, but that's your way of getting to change his behavior, it's not just telling him that he's a tzaddik and just walking away. This is a process. The process is the way I get him to change behavior is by telling him that. Now people often ask, how does the shliach show that he's not accepting people's behaviors? How does he show that? By the fact that he came to town. This is a town which is full of Ebra Aveda. And a shliach came to town, setting up an Orthodox minion, and an Orthodox school, and a kashrus. That's the biggest mecha, the biggest protest you can make about the behavior. If the shliach gets up in shul, and one week he says, they now let him walk, wear shoes on Yom Kippur. The next week when it comes to Yom Kippur, he already gave the drash, you're not supposed to wear leather shoes in Yom Kippur. The next week there are people that show up with leather shoes. They know the shliach is against it. The shliach spoke about it in shul. But the person comes with leather shoes, he doesn't push him out of the shul. He might even give him aliyah, that's a whole different story. He's not showing that he's really giving them a heksha. Like, the Rambam writes in Tshuvas HaRambam, and he talks about the Karoim, and he says, these people, you have to give them kavod. You have to be miskarev to them. You have to have the act with them in a way of another humility and truth and peace. These are people that we should try lishol b'shloim, go to the houses, greet them, make bris milah for them. So this is an important approach to know how to deal with people. When we talk about the mitzvah of toichacha, there's a mitzvah to rebuke people. Now that's one of the most very, very difficult mitzvahs, and we really don't know how to do that mitzvah properly. Nimshin Bruder brings from the Birk Yosef and the Chidah, that even though some which clearly written in the Torah is a mitzvah of toichacha, and that's only in a time when we have the power we can stop people that are doing the wrong thing. If we can't stop them, we don't have a mitzvah of toichacha either. Because we know they won't accept. And we mentioned already that it says in Tanya, if a person is not a religious person, the approach has to be l'mashchem b'chevel avayis zahava, really greet them with love. If you can't give them mussar, then it becomes like a mitzvah shiloh, lo yimar davar shein em nishma, it's a mitzvah not to say something that people won't listen to. Today's day and age, the Chafetz Chaim brings, we brought an earlier sefer Marganisa Tava, Chafetz Chaim printed it, the Chaznish brings it lahalacha. Today's day and age, we don't know how to give musr anymore. So therefore, it's not as if we gave the musr now, it's a mitzvah to hate people because I already gave the musr. We're always pre-musr because we don't know how to give musr properly. We really just don't know how to rebuke people. And I'll mention an interesting tshuva, the Marshag. The Marshag says, he brings from a lot of Ma'amar Chazal, the tshuva's Marshag, he brings, there were a lot of tzaddikim, they would not say musr. Arna Kayim was Oyev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom. He didn't go around giving musr, he didn't do Hechech Techir, the mitzvah of rebuking. Yaakov and Avinu Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, didn't rebuke until the very last day, the day of their death. The day they passed away, the day of their istalka. So the Marshag asks the question, is a mitzvah saseh v'cheich techeich? I don't know, what does it mean? Don't keep a mitzvah. Says the Marshag, the mitzvah techeich is hakel lefi inin. It's all about what works. You need to know if he's going to accept you techeicha. If you're not being mechiach because you know you want to accept you techeicha, that's not called bitl mitzvah techacha, not keeping the mitzvah. Lif'am and bitl ha-mitzvah, zeru kiyumay, not keeping the mitzvah, that's a way of keeping the mitzvah. And on that note, I want to move on to something else. There's a halacha that you now let it go and teach someone who's a Talmud she'ein hagan, who's not an appropriate Talmud. And we have all these people coming to our classes. Are they Talmud she'ein hagan? So first of all, the Chidah writes in Zrei Yimin, a Talmud she'ein hagan means someone who's already a student. He learned already and now he went off the path. Point one. Point number two, the Alter Rebbe in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, the Talmud she'ein hagan also has a mitzvah of learning Torah. The question is if the rabbi has to go and accept him into his class. But if the guy is pushing to come to your class, you should accept him. And furthermore, the isra of teaching someone's a Talmud Shein Hagin is because you could make him lachzir lemutav. You could bring him back first on the right path. So don't bring him into the class because you could first set him on the right path. But if you can set him on the right path, then don't just kick him out. Then you'll be like Chas HaShom, like Yeshua ben Prachi. The Gemara says he kicked out a student with two hands And look what happened to him. And we had Christianity as a result of that student. So we have to think about all these things very, very carefully. And I'll just mention one more final point. The question was asked about people that drive on Shabbos, inviting such guests. And this is a very, very complicated question. Because if you know that person is going to be driving and you don't have a place for them to sleep and eat over Shabbos, you're really directly asking them, even though you're doing with intention and karav into Yiddishkeit, but you're really asking them directly to do an Aveda. We're just trying to be, keep people away from doing Avedas. And here you're asking them to come on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos. Lifnei Iver, according to many Paiskin, Alter Rebbe included, applies even to a mummer, someone who doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote in a letter, you have to go tell all the people in the shul, it's a terrible thing to come by car. He actually wrote a whole long letter like that. I believe I mentioned this in the Shir too, you have to publicize in the newspapers that you shouldn't join, you're not supposed to join services over there. It was about a kafes through Chilul Shabbos. And this might be part of minimizing the Aveda of Lifnei Iver, which is when you told them not to do it in the wrong way, the problem is that you're getting them to do the wrong thing. So if you're actually telling them to do the right thing, it's like when one of the ideas of Lifnei Iver, closing a stumbling block, is you're giving people bad advice. But if you tell the person in advance, here, this is the advice, but I'm telling you it's not good advice to you, well, he's stumbling himself. So part of that principle could apply. Over here, we have a similar svara, though. If you give a person to eat, and he's a person that won't make a bracha, but you tell him to make a bracha, you suggest him to make a bracha, this is all part of this principle, which might minimize the issur. There's a letter of Rabbi Chadakov, the Rebbe's secretary, that he heard from the Friedrich Rebbe, that he told him there was a shir and people would drive. Don't stop the shir, but teach them about the issur of driving. Again, this is all part of this general principle, and indeed the accepted psak is to try get for them a place, arrange a place for them. Now, I want to mention something very, very important, and that is this Lifnei Iver, this, when it comes to getting people to drive on Shabbos, even though you're just asking them to come to your minyan, has a certain aspect which is worse than other Lifnei Ivers, because in Halacha we have a distinction between Mesayeh and Lifnei Iver. Mesayeh is where the person can do the Aveda without you. Lifnei Iver is he needs you to do the Aveda. But the Gemara tells us if a person hits his older son, it's called Lifnei Iver because you're causing him to rebel. But he can rebel without you. The Gemara also says that if you're giving a loan, extending a loan to someone, and you don't have witnesses, it's Lifnei Iver because you're causing him to deny the loan. What do you mean? He could deny the loan without you. He doesn't need you to deny the loan. So the Chafetz Chaim and many other Svarim already go through the Svarim say that when you're the one that caused him to do the Aveda, he wouldn't have done the Aveda to begin with without you. It only came about because of you. You extended the loan. You gave the child a smack. Then, even if, in such a case, even technically he could have done it without you, but you're goyim siba, you're making the cause, that is called Lifnei Iver Deraisa. And there's a lot of sources for this Svarim, which affects also this idea of inviting the person on Shabbos. You're making the whole thing happen. This driving that he's doing is only because of you. And therefore, even the heter we often use when it comes to Lifnei Iver, that he's, when you're doing the Lifnei Iver, is not the time when he's doing the Aveda. So this is much worse because you're actually asking him specifically to go and do an Aveda. You actually tell him, I want you to come to me. And coming to me means driving on Shabbos. Okay, there's svaras to be made. I'm not going to go through all the different svaras. But we mentioned the shir. I also wanted to touch on this. It wasn't explained well by the shir. There's a Rebbe Kiva Eker in Yeredeya that goes through a case where a woman is cutting off the payas, giving a haircut to a man, which is a question if she's allowed to do that or not. And Rebbe Kiva Eker asked the question, what about Lifnei Iver? If she's giving him a haircut, she's causing him to do the Aveda of having his payas cut off. And Rebbe Kiva Eker says, yeah, but she's saving him from doing it himself. If he would do it himself, it would be a much more severe Aveda. And this svara is found in many different places. And some people want to use that svara over here also. I'm asking him to drive to me, to come to my chabad house, to come to shul, or to come to my chabad house dinner, to my Suda Shabbos, because I'm trying to save him from worse of it. I just want to bring him close to Yiddishkeit. The problem is that Rebbe Kiva Eker only writes V'ula Yeshleimer. The Tiferet Shmuel, who says the same svara about Ribbis, also says Efshi Yesh Lahater. They're all talking about a Drabanan, which we're not going to go into right now. The Tiferet Shmuel is Ribbis Drabanan. The Machsa Shekel says the same svara also by Issa Rabbana specifically. But the most important point that I want to make, that this is really not an accurate tzushtal. It doesn't really compare to our topic. All these poskim are talking about we're saving the person right now and here. And therefore, when I have to look at what I'm doing right now, am I
doing hachshala hatzala? Am I putting a stumbling block or am I saving? Says Reb Kiva Eger, when you're doing something in my behavior, there's saving him at the very, very this particular moment, and it's causing him to do the wrong thing, and the salvation is greater than the stumbling block. Therefore, there's room to argue it's not kolif never. But we never heard of such an idea that I can do cause a person to an aveda now, and this is a long-term salvation which will happen, and only suffix maybe I'll be able to save the person. And the Emerson, I could do both. I could invite him during the week, for example. So who says, you say, I need to save him, this is the only way to save him? Well, you could save him other ways. In addition to the fact, sometimes there's people that maybe will drive somewhere else. Sometimes people, the old people, are old. They would have stayed at home anyhow. The Bekiveg was talking about a case where the guy is for sure going to do an Aveda. So to take this heter, this is one of those places where it's, you can't tell a person to do an Aveda of Lifnei to get the other person, even Mekad of the other person. They say there was certain Gedolei Yisrael that gave a heter, but I will tell you an interesting thing that Reb Shlomo Zalman was very upset. There was a letter that he wrote about this, to allowing people to come and drive, to be Mekad of them. He was very upset that this letter was publicized. And he says this was an exception to the rule, this was a hirasha. It wasn't about just breaking down the barrier of letting people just drive, setting up a care event, and even though we know that everybody's going to just come and drive. So to ask a person directly, specifically invite him to come to you for Shabbos, be very hard-pressed to allow such a thing. Shluchim Baruch Hashem are engaged in the activity of being Mekarev Eden. They have the success rate. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. And we, sometimes some people sit in their ivory towers. They're looking at these people that are in the mud, put their necks out, put their families out there from the serious nefesh, try to be Mekarev people for Yiddishkeit. And they start questioning, oh, what about being Mekarev Lashayim and all of that? Halavai, we should learn from this tremendous Avos Yisrael. These people are gifted with Avos Yisrael. They gave their entire lives away for Klal Yisrael. They understand the principle that Chazal tell us, Yisrael kadmu l'Torah. When Hashem gave the Torah, the first thing came Eden, and then came the Torah. The whole Torah is b'shvil Yisrael, tzadus b'nei Yisrael. That doesn't mean Chas Hashem, we don't go according to Torah. That means, who tells us this principle that Yisrael kadmu l'Torah? That the Eibush, the Tanna Beis Yehuda tells us, we don't know who came first, Eden or Torah. But in the Torah, we see that Yidden came first, because it says, Sav el b'nei Yisrael, the Yidden were first. That itself comes through Torah. When a person does tshuva, they're revealing the connection that they have to Hashem, which came before the connection through Torah. Really, technically, how can you do tshuva? The person has done the wrong thing. He's cut off. Because every Yid has an essential connection with Hashem. But that connection to Hashem isn't just that doesn't come out. Only if the person does tshuva. And then he goes through the channels of Torah. Shluchim know there's something called Hefzim Merubah. Tzorech Hashah, Tzorech Gadol, and Halacha, very often, Shasat Chak, Hefzim Merubah, we need to look at the big picture. Comes sometimes a situation, there's a lot of, a person has a question in Kashrus, and the Rav will tell him, oh, in this case, you can be lenient. These people are being lenient, they're not really being lenient, they're being machmer and Avos Yisrael. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we trying to push people away to make life easier for us? Or really going to find every heter under the sun to be mekad of another Yid? We'll go with Das Torah, we'll speak to Rabbanim, we'll speak to expert people in the field, we'll make sure that everything's Al-Pi Torah and Al-Pi Shulchan Aruch, but we'll do it in such a way that we can find another Yid. And if a person would have his own child, if his own child would Chas Hashem be stuck, would he also say that, no, how can you be Mekad of such a person? All of a sudden, he'll understand that, yeah, there are paths that are acceptable. He'll understand that even if he's a Mechal Shabbos Befaresi, he's Bechlal Achicha, he's still considered Yid. And this is a child that got a true education. By the Rebbe, every single Yid was Mebesar Chal Tesal. Every single Yid is a Ben Yachin LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal Shem Tov tells us that every Yid is a one and only son to the Eibishter. That is the where the neshama, the essence of the neshama is connected. And even if in a revealed level, the person would have been over in Kris, some Yisbez, and been cut off, the essence of that connection of Kol Yisrael, Cheshlem, Chelik, Len, Abba, even when the Mishnah says the Elush Einlam Chaylik Leilam Abba, in Svarim it says that doesn't distinguish, that doesn't take away from the beginning of the Mishnah that every person has a Chaylik Leilam Abba. There's some level of their Nesham which is essentially bound up with Hashem. When you appreciate that point, that this is Zera Kodesh, this came from Hashem, this is a holy seed, this can never get lost, this can never be destroyed. Appreciating that Rebbe understood this idea that every single Yid is like his own Ben Yachid. And shluchim are infused with this Avos Yisrael. We should learn from their behavior. And they will help him. Hefticha Torah shesof Yisrael asa tshuva v'sof galusim. The Torah promises, sof kol sof, every Yid is going to do tshuva. everybody will return. Umiyad hei negol, and we'll have the gula mitzvah shlema. Take it from Miyad, mamish, with the coming of Mashiach in our days.